Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We've been talking to Mark and Lynette Hynek, who have had a 10-year ministry in Costa Rica. And this year, coming for our missions conference, they brought a national with them by the name of Karen. And we're glad that you guys are with us. Pastor Ken, thank you for hosting this missions conference. It's really been a fantastic blessing.
Well, this is a whole church event. To be honest, Pastor Greg, I really don't do a whole lot. Keith Fleming, our missions committee, really pour their life into it. And it's just exciting to see how it helps our church. It helps us as we want to serve and we want to minister to our missionaries. But in turn, the missionaries are ministering back to us. I always say ministry is that two-way street.
Oh, that's the truth.
And I've heard just some tremendous messages. Mark, Sharon, you and Lynette sharing your ministry and to see your sensitivity to what God's called you to do. I mean, when you start talking about these kids and what they mean to you, that the tears form there in your eyes and roll down your cheeks because it's all about your life touching someone else's life and it's real. And I think that's probably what young people need to see today, what other believers need to see is that it's real. It's real. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we sincerely care and want to reach others. And obviously, these young people that you started out with, they're sour cheese.
And if you missed the first two broadcasts, they were involved in working with young people ages about 15 to 30, something like that, single folks. And Karen was one of them. And God now is beginning to open up new ministries with their now adults, and they have a real heart for work. Lynette, tell us about this children's ministry.
Well, a few years ago, we had a young lady come down to visit us for a week, and she was interested in possibly in the future working in an orphanage somewhere in Central America. So I just wanted to let her see what that looked like. And we were able to get into a government shelter for children that had been removed from their home because of abuse. And after time went on, they would keep calling. Well, actually, what we did is we went and did a Bible club. And as time went on, if they didn't have enough workers and they needed help, they would call me to come and do a Bible club.
Okay.
Well, after a while, the director approached me and she said, Lynette, these kids can't leave the home here to go to church, and they really need to learn the Bible, too. Could you come on a regular basis and teach them?
This is like a state-run home.
This is a government home.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think we all need to move to Costa Rica. My goodness.
By law, since it's related to the government, it's supposed to be Catholic. And so I told her from the beginning, I said, no, I'm not Catholic. I'm Baptist. And she said, well, we don't care. We like what you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's a powerful testimony and message of the work you guys are doing for the world to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we began by going every other Sunday. We had government permission by letter that we could be there for 2 hours each Sunday, but a lot of times it ended up being three. The kids just loved us being there so much, and the workers, too, that they didn't want us to leave. And we would do a Bible club. The kids, when we'd get there, we'd play games with them. They would memorize verses. We'd have a Bible lesson and a craft and a snack. And about a year ago, they approached me again and they said, Lynette, the psychologist said that these kids must be in a church every Sunday. But we don't want to send them to a church that will teach them a different doctrine than what you're teaching them.
Oh, my goodness.
So, could you come every Sunday? And we said, well, of course.
Wow.
So, we now go every Sunday, and we're supposed to be there from 3 to 5, but it's usually more like 3 to 6.
And the kids are what ages?
The kids are anywhere from birth to 14 years old.
And did you take any of your, quote-unquote, young people with you?
I did. From the very beginning, almost, I decided I wanted to involve them in service. So I began taking them and teaching them, you know, what the priority was. The priority wasn't really the game.
Right.
The priority was teaching the kids the Bible. And I would actually let them take turns doing that and teaching songs and other things so that now that we are back in the States two of those young people are the ones heading up this ministry. They're doing a fabulous job.
That is awesome.
Let me ask you this question. In light of that, you have four children yourself, right?
Yes.
And they're all there with you in Costa Rica. Do they get involved in helping you in ministry? I mean, how do you engage them?
They do as well, especially our oldest daughter, Elizabeth. She just turned 15, and so she's taught Sunday school, and she's taught the lesson at the children's shelter as well. But we do take even our young ones with us, and just them being there and being a positive, loving child next to other children that have been hurt greatly makes a difference.
Now, Karen, were you a part of those children's ministries?
See.
Okay. And what types of things did you get involved with the children?
Al principio, cuando empezamos a trabajar con ellos, era un poquito miedo.
In the beginning, when we started working with them, we were fearful.
Sure.
Pero después nos dimos cuenta de que realmente estaban felices de estar en un buen lugar que cuidara de ellos.
But we realized that they were really happy that they were finally in a place where people loved them.
Yeah, yeah.
Tenemos varias experiencias que pasamos, pero una que recuerdo perfecto fue una niña chiquitita que se llamaba Victoria.
We've had lots of children come through with different experiences, but one of them that I remember the best is a little girl named Victoria.
Ella me enseñó que habían cosas peores de las que yo pensaba.
She taught me that there were things much worse than what I could have ever imagined.
Un día ella estaba corriendo por todo el albergue, como una niña normal.
One day she was just running around the whole area, just like a normal child would do.
Y ella se cayó muy fuerte, entonces yo salí corriendo para ayudarla porque pensé que iba a llorar.
And she fell, and so I ran over there to try to help her because I just thought, you know, she probably got hurt and needed help.
Ella se levantó con una sonrisa y me preguntó, ¿usted creyó que yo iba a llorar?
She got up and she had a smile and she asked, did you think I was going to cry?
No, no voy a llorar.
She said, no, I wouldn't cry.
He vivido cosas peores que me han hecho llorar.
She said, I've lived much worse things that have made me cry.
My.
Y ella tenía como 4 o 5 años, 4.
And she was only about 4 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
En ese momento hay que contener las lágrimas.
At this time, it was really hard to contain the tears.
Y decirle algo que realmente la llenara.
And to tell her something that would help her.
Entonces, lo que yo dije fue, sí, en todos estos momentos difíciles, Dios estuvo ahí para usted.
So what I told her is, yes, in all of these difficult moments, God was there with you.
Hmm. You know what I keep hearing? These people love me. That's what the children were saying about you guys. That's what you guys were saying about the Heinicks. I keep hearing the power of love. Whether we murder the language or not, the power of love.
Love is definitely a universal language.
And that is so needed in our country as well. To see people, but not to love them. That is such a need for our churches, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To love everybody that God may send across our paths. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of folks that are not like us.
You know, I think sometimes having grown up in a Christian home, sometimes we expect people to look like Christians and we're more concerned about their outward appearance rather than being concerned about their heart. But true love is really more concerned about their heart. Their outward appearance is going to change once they know God.
Well, I mean, that is exactly what God showed us. He loved us.
Exactly.
You know, some religions would say they have to do something for their God to love them. We just say God loved us first.
When we were sinners.
When we were sinners, when we were unlovable. And he just says, hey, that's how people will know you're actually my disciple. If you have that characteristic, that attribute of that I demonstrate to this lost world, love. And man, we can be unloving when we're driving. You know, when someone pushes their cart in front of ours at the grocery store and so forth and so on. And we come across as unloving people. I mean, why would anybody want what we have if that's the way we are?
and so many times in our homes when our kids mess up. If they see unconditional love, if they see patience when it would be so easy to be impatient, if they see forgiveness when it would be so easy to be judgmental, they finally can begin to see the picture of Christ, who loved people that everybody else rejected, everybody else said, no, you're too far gone. But Jesus said to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Stop sinning. Go and sin no more. But she sensed his love. And I think that's why John 3:16 is such an important verse worldwide. For God so loved the world that he gave. So if we're supposed to be like him, we can't do it without love.
I would say another thing along with that is to be as transparent as you can be.
Oh, yeah.
Because I showed them, I showed my kids, I said, I'm not perfect.
And they already knew mistakes. That, didn't they?
Yeah, they knew that. But I found myself oftentimes going to the youth saying, please forgive me.
Yes, yes.
And they didn't say, you're just playing a Christian.
No.
I remember the song around Hamilton said, I saw Jesus in you.
Oh, wow, yes.
And that's what they saw. They said, you know, the youth down there grew up living a religious life. They saw their parents living that religious life. But then when they left the church, it was back to the world. They saw hypocrisy, but then they saw the world destroying their families. And they said, I don't want either of those. And we came along and showed them the love and showed them who Christ really is. And they said, that's what I want.
So, Mark, Lynette, when are you all going to get back to Costa Rica then? You're here right now. I know you're looking at more support.
We are. That's the hard question right now. We wish we had a date that we could tell, but at this point we're only at 70% of our needed support, and we can't go back till we're back at 100%.
So if somebody's listening out there and they say, man, you know, here's a couple, they've made this impact with these young people, there's opportunities there at the shelter. Man, I want to help. I want to get involved. They wanted to get funds to you guys. How could they do it? I mean, obviously, they could probably do it through Brookside.
Sure.
Or they could send it directly to our mission board at Gospel Fellowship Association.
They have a website, www.gfamissions.org, and they can give directly through the website, or they can mail a check to the address listed there.
So, hey, if you want to help a couple get back to Costa Rica, here's an opportunity.
Because if they don't get back quickly, Karen's going to be lonely down there, right?
I'll answer for you. Si.
Oh, isn't he good in Spanish?
I'm good.
Well, folks, we have come to the end of our broadcast time again, but let me just leave you with that thought we just mentioned. I saw Jesus in you. And if people can say that, then you have a life well lived. Let people see Jesus in you, and you will be a greater attraction to God than anything else. Let God reflect to others. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.